Hi everyone, welcome to the Our Covenant God Study, part number 18. First of all, last week's homework. Question number 1 said, what does the fact that the Abrahamic covenant was the very first covenant that was cut between God and mankind tell us about its importance? First things and first fruits belong to God. They are the most important. A foundation or cornerstone is always laid first, and it supports the whole house. This tells me that the Abrahamic covenant is the most important of all the covenants. It is the foundation or cornerstone of our relationship with God. Question number 2. As you see how God fulfilled his promises to Abraham, establishing his covenant with Abraham's descendants, even after Abraham was no longer on this earth, what does that tell you about God's faithfulness to you personally? God is faithful even when we are not looking. Our death does not end his faithfulness. His word is eternal, and he cannot break it. Whatever God's word says about and to me is truth, and God will perform it in my life. Homework question number 3. God promised Abraham that by him, that is Abraham, all the families of this earth would be blessed. How is that promise fulfilled in your life and mine? When we have the same faith and friendship with God that Abraham did, then we become his children, and therefore the Abrahamic covenant promises belong to us as well. Only a child can receive their father's blessing, and the chief blessing we obtain from Abraham is simply that we can be children of God, because only the children of Abraham in the old creation can be children of God in the new creation, and there are no other children in the new creation. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. That is the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant. It brings us all into God's family. Homework question number 4. When you see how the covenants all tie in together in God's great plan, why is it important for believers in Christ to study both the Old and the New Testaments, instead of focusing primarily on the New Testament as most do? The truth is, if we don't study the Old Testament, we will never understand the New Testament writers, especially Paul. The New Testament writers use idioms and symbols from the Old Testament. Their thinking is molded by the Old Testament. And if we don't understand the writers, and we're not able to think the way that they thought, then we cannot understand the principles or the promises of God's word to us. You cannot just read the end of a book and expect to then know the whole story. That applies to the Bible too. Now for today's lesson. Today we're going to take a closer look at God's covenant with Noah. Last week we saw that the Abrahamic covenant was the very first covenant that God cut with mankind, but that he had indeed given and established a covenant with Noah beforehand. Before we can explore the covenant, we need to meet the man of the covenant, that is Noah. Who is he? What do we know about him? We are introduced to Noah in Genesis 5 verse 29, where his father makes a very strange statement about him. I'm reading from the New King James Version, from verse 28 to 29. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." Noah's name means rest. It is the same word as Sabbath or Shabbat. Rest is a common theme throughout the Bible. God wants to give his people rest. This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. But when was the ground cursed by the Lord? We find the answer to this in Genesis 3. In Genesis 1 and 2, we read about the creation. In 6 days, God created the entire universe. He left the creation of man to the very last day, taking great care as he formed the man out of the ground and tenderly placed him in a garden that God had planted specially for the man. Then God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and he then formed the woman from out of the body of the man. His name was Adam, which means man. Her name was woman. She was his equal, the same as him, and yet different to him. And once they, the pinnacle of God's creation, were finished, all of God's handiwork was done, and God said, "It was very good." And then God rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because his work was done. It was all perfect. There was no more to add. But then calamity struck. The man and the woman disobeyed God's command, and sin entered the world. Sin brought death and decay, sickness and disease. The perfect harmony of creation was thrown out of balance, and all that God had done was reversed because of one crime. It was God who gave them life, but now death had entered and marred the perfection of creation. What had taken 6 days to create would slowly unravel and disintegrate over a few thousand years. What a calamity. In Genesis 3, we read about what is commonly called the Adamic curse. This is a misnomer because Adam was never cursed. Instead, it was the ground that was cursed. Because Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, the ground would no longer yield good fruit for him to eat. Grains would now be his food, and he would have to work very hard to get that grain. Grain is very different to fruit. Fruit is tasty, refreshing, and energizing. You eat it straight off the tree. Grain, on the other hand, needs to be ground up, combined with other ingredients, and then cooked to make bread to eat. There is so much more work involved in preparing bread as food as opposed to eating fruit.